Title of my talk is NLO QCD corrections for Higgs production via weak boson fusion. And, the first half of the talk, I did this work with Dieter Zebenfeld and Carl O'Leary. In the second half, I only worked with Dieter. And let's just move along here. So, okay, I'll first start with an introduction, then I'll go into describing some of the features of our NLO calculation. And I'll discuss the tagging jet properties at NLO, and then I'll talk about jet correlations, where I'll focus on azimuthal angle correlations of the two tagging jets. And we also put in anomalous Higgs 2 vector-vector couplings into the weak boson fusion process. And then I'll wrap up with some conclusions. Okay, so weak boson fusion, this is a process where you have T-channel exchange of Zs or Ws with the Higgs emitted off the propagator here. It represents one of the most promising production processes for the Higgs boson with cross sections here. So the intermediate mass range was the one we really want to focus on. So between 100 and 200 GeV, and it's less than 10 picobarons.
Why is weak boson fusion important?
Well, because this will allow us to measure the HWW and HCC vertex interactions. And in the second part, when I talk about jet correlations, it will become apparent we can look at vertex tensor structures of those interactions as well. So the LHC will allow us to achieve statistical accuracies of 10 to 20%, shown this plot here, where delta sigma H here is the accuracy here. And well below 10% for vector-vector the Higgs WW here. And so we need a theoretical prediction with an error less than 10%. Well, it turns out the, the QCD corrections for the total Higgs production have K factors of 1.1 to 1.08. So that's one reason we need a Monte Carlo. Now I'm going out of order here. But why do we need a Monte Carlo? We want to apply cuts. We need to extract this Higgs boson signal. And so we need cuts on the decay products and the two forward quark jets. And typically these cuts have an acceptance less than 25% of the starting value of the cross-section times the branching ratio. So are the K-factors and scale dependencies determine the inclusive production cross-section valid for the Higgs boson search region? And so we wrote a fully flexible NLO Pardon level Monte Carlo program. We have a paper, it's in FISREV D68. So let's discuss the Feynman graphs that we considered were, so here's the leading order process and then one loop virtual correction there, and then these real emission diagrams. And because of the nature of so you have color singlet exchange here. There's going to be another set of graphs which are identical, so it's, you could think of it as a deep inelastic scattering times two. How am I for time? Good. I'm going too fast, probably. Okay. We use the subtraction method of Cantani and Seymour,
to cancel two these singularities in the that arise in the virtual amplitude. And notice that this interference between the virtual amplitude and the Born amplitude is proportional to the Born squared here, and then also, as I said before, this singular factor. And then this has to be regularized by hand. And then once you've done that, once you've used Catani and Seymour subtraction method, you obtain three pieces. There's this three parts on cross section, which we can integrate over four dimensions. So you can use Vegas to do that. And there's these two parts on cross section, and then these collinear terms. And we implement those in our program. So we calculate the tree level amplitudes numerically using helicity amplitude formalism. We use CTEC6M part distribution functions for the NLO results, and then CTEC6L1 for the leading order. We ignore identical Fermi effects, since these are suppressed by weak boson fusion cuts. So, and we only consider the T-channel W and Z exchange, so there's no interference between the Higgs-Rolling process. If you had QQ bar in the initial state. We reconstruct the jets from final state partons using the KT algorithm with a resolution parameter of D equals 0.8. We also, include the B quark, but talk about some of these characteristics of weak boson fusion. The energetic jets, there's energetic jets in the forward and backward directions, here and here, and then in the Lego plot here, jet 1 and jet 2 here. Then the Higgs decay products are between the tagging jets. And there's little gluon radiation in the central rapidity region due to the color singlet exchange, color's WZ exchange. So. So for now, we're not going to really discuss too much about the decay cuts on decay products. We're going to focus in on the cuts on the two hard jets. And so we calculate cross sections for events with at least two hard jets. They have to have at least 20 JeV, and their rapidity is less than or equal to 4.5. And then we just our cross sections are Higgs to jet, and the inner code we decay the Higgs to the leptons, but in the end we calculate a total Higgs production cross section. So there are some lepton cuts here. We looked at two possibilities for selecting tagging jets. The first one is the PT method, where we select tagging jets with the two highest PT in the event. And we also looked at the E method, where we selected tagging jets of the two highest energy jets. As a final requirement, we put in the rapidity gap cut. We require that the distance between the two tagging jets and rapidity is greater than 4. Okay. So we looked at two different scales to test scale dependence. We looked at a MH scale and a dynamic scale, which is the virtuality of the exchange weak boson on the upper and lower lines. We discovered that the largest variations occur when you multiply mh or qi by half or multiply by 2. And okay, so the PT method is this is in the red here, right here. The E method is in the blue here, and you see this is the leading order result, and there's a plus minus 5% residual uncertainty for leading order, and then a plus minus 2% uncertainty at NLO. Okay, here we looked at the distribution of the PT of the tag jet, and at leading order the tags are defined uniquely, but however at the NLO there's large difference between a relatively large difference between the PT method and E method. As you can see, it goes up, shoots up right here, and then a little bit tamer there. And this dot dash curve here is the K factor. And so in each of these, you see that the K factor is actually, it's phase space dependent. And then the uncertainties are minus 4% to 2% for the PT method and minus 2% to plus 5% of the E method. So the scale uncertainties are pretty much the same for both. Another distribution is the distribution over rapidity distance between the two tag jets here, and that they're pushed forward, and so then we could just say that the rapidity gap cut works well at NLO. Again, you see that there's the K factor is phase space dependent. Okay, I'm going to shift gears now. Before, our Higgs to vector-vector coupling was a standard model. Now I want to generalize this coupling to include a CP-even structure and a CP-odd tensor structure. And to implement this is straightforward, since the virtual amplitude is proportional to the Born. And when you calculate the amplitude, you're just contracting this vertex tensor with the two core currents, you know, here and here. So, and recall the standard model Geminiani coupling results from the kinetic energy term in the unitarity gauge here. And so that these are the two couplings here. And then for the CP even and CP odd couplings, they can result from a dimension 5 operators. Oh, so the even coupling, so this H could be any scalar that's produced during weak boson fusion. It doesn't have to be the electroweak symmetry, the Higgs boson. It can be, it could be a singlet, or it could be something else. But our main focus is we want to prove the standard model Higgs. But okay, so this couples to the square of the field strength, and then here's the dual. And then the Feynman rules. We consider the three cases. So we consider a situation where you could have a purely CP even coupling that produces reproduces the standard model cross section. That could be a scenario. And then there's another case, you just have a purely CP odd coupling, and then always, I mean, you can always consider the standard model as just kind of to compare with. It was pointed out that these azimuthal angle correlations of two quark jets and weak boson fusion provide telltale signatures of the tensor structure of the Higgs spectrum-vector couplings. And here I've taken a plot out of Zuppenfeld, Rainwater, and Flynn's paper, where they looked at these azimuthal angle correlations. And you see that the standard model is flat, and then the CPOD has dips at 0 and 180, and the CP even has a dip at 90 degrees here. So there was clean signature. However, they only did that analysis at leading order. And so what happens if we have gluon emission? And let's use our Monte Carlo program to see what the effect is on that distribution. Another thing we looked at before we get to the azimuthal angle correlation, let's look at a PT distribution. And I include a form factor. This is a phenomenologically motivated form factor. So where I have a scale M, so this is M squared over Q squared minus M squared. And we looked at different values of M. For M equals infinity, then there's no form factor. And so what we see is that there's a hard PT spectra for an anomalous coupling. And the curves here turn out to be the same for both the CP even and the CPOD coupling. But however, if you make M smaller, it starts the PT spectra softens up and it looks like the standard model. So it turns out the anomalous couplings plus the form factors, you could mimic a standard model like coupling. So this distribution I just showed you really doesn't help us. But the azimuthal angle correlations, so again, here I include a form factor, and you have the same clean signature here in both of these plots for the CPOD and the CP even case. And you get a feel of the QCD corrections. And we looked at the MH dependence. And here the dashed is the leading order, and the solid is the next leading order, and the QCD corrections are small. And there's no decorrelation of the tagging jets. So to wrap up, the leading order cross section is not adequate. The K factors and scale dependencies are small in the Higgs boson search regions for both distributions and inclusive cross sections. Anomalous couplings lead to characteristic changes in azimuthal angle correlations of the two tagging jets. And there's no decorrelation of these distributions. Are there any questions? Okay. Sorry.
Okay, question or two? Just a real quick question regarding your form factor. You had a scale of like 100 to 400 or 500 GeV.
Right.
Is that realistic? I mean, what determines the scale of that form factor? Shouldn't be it above a TeV or so? I mean, isn't 100 GeV way too low?
Well, you could multiply. I guess we were just curious to see what would happen if you put in a form factor that, so that the one we chose was such that if you went to higher Higgs momenta, or not Higgs momenta, the vector boson momenta, it would
let's see, you'd make the coupling actually smaller, so there would be a tail on the, and that was just something we wanted to see what would be the effect there. And I think in a, if we did a realistic calculation where you come up with some model where you put in a loop and then, you know, you could, I think you could probably get something that would have a tail and the momentum. So the Q squared of the W's. So I don't know. I mean, it's not, it's basically phenologically motivated.
But in the azimuthal angle calculations you did, at least one of those curves had no form factor, right?
No, they all, yeah, at least one had no form factor, right?
And there was a very weak dependence on that.
Right.
So
there was,
however high Ole wants to make that scale, that measurement still works.
Yeah, so this one right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had that, we included form factor effects, and then also the M goes to infinity, so there's no form factor.
So one of those curves is M goes to infinity.
Right, one of those curves is.
Good.
Okay.
Okay, seeing no more questions, I'm going to close the session. We'll begin here again at 2 o'clock. And let's go ahead and thank all the speakers again in the session. Thank you.